You found the podcast Cults and Kaiju. This is episode 3, entitled False Confessions. I'm your host, Trenton Payne. Well, so to recap, last episode, we talked to a woman in her early 70s, using the pseudonym Miss Kazuko, about her experience with the Heavenly Path Church. She had started posting comments on those videos up on YouTube and was kind of talking back and forth with the person who uploaded the videos originally. After that episode, Kazuko remembered somebody who might still be alive, who was there working on the superhero show that never made it past pre-production. She said he'd remember things well and was quote-unquote the most professional man at the time. Okay. So I reached out and eventually he got back to me and agreed to a brief interview. He's living now in Yokohama near Tokyo. We'll call him Mr. Isamu to protect his identity, although he seemed defiantly unconcerned about it. I apologize I didn't hit record until halfway into the first question, so we'll take it up right there in the conversation.
It shocks me that she remembered me at all, and why she thought I would have anything positive to say about those insane kids in the woods. Seriously, it was not a club or an institute, it was a gang, it was a cult, they were dangerous.
And so you haven't spoken to Kazuko in years?
I barely ever spoke to her at all. The only reason why I remember her now is because you told me about her job at the ad agency. Not sure how she got my email either. Just goes to show you can't hide in this modern digital age. But that ad agency got me thinking about her crazy boss Emmy, and of course Jimmy.
Can you talk a little about your job at the time, how you knew everyone?
I was a freelance film director, I worked on documentaries too, but my day job was filming local commercials and corporate films for the ad agency. One of our spots was played nationwide. I was pretty proud of that. Working with the kids' shows was a little beneath me, but my children were impressed that their father worked with Godzilla and Friends, so I took those jobs when I could.
I bet. So if there was a cult, who was the leader?
Jimmy was the figurehead because he was charming and funny and handsome and just had this glow around him. Everyone either wanted to hang with him or just be him. He was just that kind of guy. He was working in sales at the agency, I think, and moving up fast because he sold so much ad space. He could convince pretty much anyone he had lunch with to make a commercial. It was impressive to see him work his magic. He was genuinely nice to people too. Great guy. He'd get strange sometimes, but I overlooked it. Besides, he always paid for the drinks.
Strange how exactly?
He'd be all fun and games and winking at some woman at the bar with a drink in his hand, and then suddenly, he'd look up through the window at the sky and grow dim, like he was suddenly depressed. It would usually pass in a minute or so. One time I asked him about it and he really wanted to tell me something, so we grabbed our drinks. I remember it was summer and I decided to take my sport coat off, too hot. Anyway, we both lit up cigarettes and moved to an isolated booth away from the bar. He starts telling me this story about how after World War II, his father was commissioned to create a unique weapon equal to that of a nuclear bomb. He worked for the government in some large warehouse near Tokyo. Apparently, he was using cosmic solar radiation from the sun to power the weapon, but it blew up and burned Jimmy the day he was visiting. After that, his father and his experiments were moved to an underground facility. Jimmy only visited him once in a while. But there was apparently another explosion or whatever and it killed his father.
Okay.
The really weird thing was, Jimmy was convinced that the first time his father turned on the weapon, he pointed it at the sky just to create a force of light, just as a simple demonstration. But Jimmy said it ripped a hole in the sky and made it so something in another universe could get through. I laughed at his story, but he wasn't laughing. He was dead serious. Jimmy said that he would see this thing looking down at him from the sky, trying to come down to Earth but being unable to. Then he proceeds to unbutton his shirt right there in the bar and shows me this giant red scar the shape of an X on his chest. It must have been a bad burn.
Why would he make up weird stories like that?
I think he believed it. But then, those kids were doing a crazy amount of drugs. Their little gang had a pharmacist in there and they mixed all kinds of hallucinogens. Then they'd have a bonfire and stare up at the sky for hours. I went to one of their little parties once. I didn't stay long. I certainly wasn't into doing drugs and I didn't believe all the hippie stuff about God looking down at us from the sky and they were going to build a path so he'd come down to his chosen followers. Plus, there was some huge guy there, a bit older, but he had this dull look on his face and was wandering around holding a dead fox by its neck like it was his security blanket. People were having sex in the bushes. It was very bizarre. That was it for me. I never went back.
So you've seen the film up on the YouTube link that I have sent you, correct?
Oh, I looked at all of them. Utter nonsense. And I didn't work on those monstrosities either. Terrible editing, plus most of that footage is stolen. Emmy, she would get interns to steal footage from other projects at the ad firm for other clients and use them in her so-called institute films. If the interns didn't want to do it, she'd threaten them. She was mean. She was obsessed with Jimmy and yes, he was their so-called leader, but really, she was the brains. She was the one to start getting her friends to donate money to the cause. It was her idea to have the kids show too.
And why did they want to make an Ultraman-type show?
Emmy thought they could, get this, subtly indoctrinate kids into their religion without the parents knowing. She wanted to slowly plant positive messages about her church in there. Terrible idea. But Jimmy saw the show as something else. I remember them yelling at each other more and more as we were trying to edit the trailer for the show. That was a long and tedious evening. Emmy was trying to make the thing that looked down on everybody be more like God, but Jimmy was shying away from that concept and wanted the sky thing to be the bad guy in the story. Plus the hero of the story, some kid made of black slime shaped like a letter X, kills the local Ultraman hero and takes his power and becomes the new hero and never gets caught. It was a mess. I had smoked through two full packs of cigarettes editing the trailer together and finally, I showed them how to use the equipment and just left. After they lied and said we could use the studio facilities on the weekend to do photo shoots of the hero in costume and then I find out we actually broke in, well, I knew the whole mess would blow up in their faces.
So you mentioned they were making a trailer.
Yes, because that way, they could sell their proof of concept idea. Instead of just having a few sketches, they would offer up a full trailer and sell the idea to their bosses at the ad agency or the people at the film studio.
Does that trailer exist somewhere?
Perhaps I might have a piece of it. I keep all my reels no matter how small the project. I'm a bit of a pack rat that way. The film might be too old to spin on a reel, but I can try. But I know the trailer never got finished. I came back the next day after they argued all night and put all the equipment away and there was just a small piece of an idea that had been edited. Not much else. Maybe a minute or two. We didn't even have footage of the main character. How can you do a trailer about a good guy show without showing the good guy? I remember the kid that made the music for it. He was an intern over at the sound studio and I think he was working on Zone Fighter. You probably don't know what that is.
No, actually, I'm a big fan of Zone Fighter.
Yeah, so, I remember that kid got indoctrinated into the cult and was excited to do the music. It wasn't half bad. He got a bunch of college friends to help with the arrangements, but I think they wanted to get a real singer but couldn't afford anyone. Or there was nobody to threaten at the ad agency who could sing. So the guy that composed the music sang the words as a placeholder. They were going to swap it out later, but I doubt that ever happened. I probably have that song recorded onto film somewhere as well. Fairly certain I don't have the reel-to-reel though, so it'll sound terrible. And the film I have it recorded on is probably just blank, if I have it at all. A lot of that stuff disintegrates over time. Maybe I'll just shoot you the audio track if I can find it.
That's fine. I think anything you have would be awesome. Do you have any of the photos from that day when you snuck into the studio?
No, Emmy's little protege kept them all, and I heard everything got destroyed when the police got involved and Jimmy disappeared. I missed that guy. Nobody knows what happened to him.
Do you have any ideas on that?
Well, I know the photographer and Emmy were always running all the cult meetings and collecting the money and making sure everyone was high on drugs all the time. They probably did him in. He may have overdosed as well and they panicked and hid the body.
When we spoke with the photographer, she said she only went to a few meetings.
Yeah, that's a lie. She was part of it all. You couldn't trust anyone at that ad agency after a while. You couldn't talk bad about the cult for fear you'd be talking to someone who was already brainwashed. I remember Shingo, the illustrator at the firm, was conflicted like me because he loved Jimmy but didn't trust Emmy. I mean, Shingo did all the drugs. He was high all the time, always drawing everywhere on a cocktail napkin, even on his arm. He was kind of the agency mascot. He could make jokes about anyone and get away with it, like the court jester. He went to cult meetings all the time. I'm not sure he believed any of it, but I knew I could only make fun of the cult so much before people would turn on me. And they got bigger. I thought it was just a handful of kids with guitars and blankets in the woods, but that one meeting I went to had dozens of people there. A lot of them were unsavory as well. Some guy, I can't remember his name. Just huge, built like a truck. You could run at this guy and just bounce off him like bouncing off a tree trunk. He was tall too. The guy that liked to kill foxes. Never spoke but kinda became Jimmy's unofficial bodyguard. Followed him everywhere. Even sat outside at the ad agency during the day when Jimmy was working. That's how paranoid they all got with the drugs. Rotted their brains.
I'd love to see or hear anything you have about the kids' show. It would really help out.
Gonna have to really dig through some old stuff to find it, but hey, maybe I'll clean some stuff out of the basement. At least that will please my wife.
That sounds great. If you remember anything else about that time, now that we've talked, don't hesitate to reach out.
Oh, you bet. Be nice if any of this helps explain what happened to Jimmy. He deserves that much.
Okay, so there you go. This guy, we're calling him Isamu, says that Kazuko was actually part of it all, but when we spoke to her, she said she'd only been to 2 meetings and was just young and impressionable. Granted, both of these people are senior citizens now. So it's safe to assume that neither of them remember history that well. I mean, memories can be rewritten in our brains, right? Scientists now believe memories are copies of the original memory every time you dredge them up. So a memory you've remembered 6 or 7 times is a copy of a copy of a copy, well, you get it. I do know that if someone's super popular with friends, who has a solid career going, and suddenly goes missing, is never found, it just sounds like there's foul play in there somewhere. But maybe Jimmy had had enough. If Emmy was trying to brainwash kids while Jimmy was trying to say something else with the show, maybe he decided to take off. Maybe being a cult leader was too much. From what I've heard so far, he doesn't seem like the stereotypical cult leader. Just a likable guy caught in something weird and made even weirder with drug abuse. And it all went to hell once Jimmy was gone. Cults don't seem to last that long without a leader. Probably best not to assume too much just yet. I will, however, push hard to get any more evidence. And if I find anything, I'll post it online so you can see for yourself. Until next time, this is Trenton Payne for the podcast Cults and Kaiju.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.